Alright, so we said there are possibilities with God. So he says, with God, nothing shall be possible. And we explain the word nothing there, right? Again, you don't say that everything is possible in this world. Let me just tell you that part of that possibility that means you can talk to a fish. Some people only call themselves fish. You say fish. You know? And I find human beings calling themselves fish. I wonder what is going on in your head. Especially ladies. You know, just you say fish. You call me fish. You know? One of my friends, very old friend, we grew up together. So, it was Valentine's Day, and then, she texts me, and she said, where's my Valentine gift now? And I said, baby. Yeah, who's baby? Baby. At this level of my spiritual growth. Just kidding, you know, maybe nephews, like, you get what I'm saying, nephews, like, that can't fend for himself, like, toast to and fro. I said, I'm not serious. You know, he's just a friend. You know, we talk. I'm serious. I'm random stuff. So, he's a fish. So, that's not part of the possibility we are talking about. You know, when we say nothing is impossible with God. Again, that word nothing actually meant what? Come on. No words. Thank you. Rema wu. So, no word spoken from God lacks the power to fulfill itself. When we come to church, we come to learn the possibilities in the Christian faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we'll probably come back to this place where Mary had to appropriate what the angel said, right? She had to appropriate God's word. So I said, we have discussed how God provides for our needs, right? Right? Those people say, Miracle money. You are just a greedy person. God does not just supernaturally put money in your pocket like a thief. God does not just supernaturally give you credit alerts. There is no bank in heaven. Someone is in charge of sending that. Hallelujah. I was a teaching meeting when I was discussing. Someone said they went to buy fuel. After buying the fuel, he supernaturally, in quotes, met the money that he used to buy fuel in the sky again back. I said, I believe in miracle money. You are a thief, sir. You didn't pay. You ran away. Hallelujah. Even if that miracle happens, you are meant to reverse that kind of miracle. Someone is an attendant being paid stipend, and you are still happy that you didn't pay him. Don't you know you account for that one? And you are religious. What kind of Christian faith is that? That's not the kind of miracles we're talking about. Hallelujah. No. That's not a miracle. That's the function of a greedy person. That's voodoo. If it happens at all. Hallelujah. Miracles will explain how God provides for our needs, right? Let's say, for example, you have a need for an etiquette. You want to travel. Or you want to pay your DSTV bills. Or you want to pay your school fee. Let me say the basics. School fee, house rent. What else? You want to pay your staff members and then, now, there are some needs that some people already, they don't have that kind of necessity. Staff members. Yeah. What's that? When you start employing people, you respect people that employ. When you know that at the end of the month, you pay out probably more than $1 million, start thinking about your life. How much are we getting? Hallelujah. But of course, if that's not your need now, come on. Just focus on your need. You, school fee? Housework? What else? What else is in it? Oh, you don't have needs. Money. Finances. Just the finances. Business finances. Capital. You know? All of that. You know? How does God meet that? He persuades, right? He would have done that straight. And so you must just listen to that last week's teaching. Alright, so, again we said there are possibilities with God. So today we want to examine a possibility. Hallelujah. Matthew 28. Let's quickly go to that place. I believe if you are in this church, there are some texts of the scriptures that you should be able to explain well. Matthew 28 is one of them. And also what? 2 Timothy 3, 15 to 16. 4 to 17. I don't see how you are in this church. Glorious House Church, International Limited. And he can explain that. He should. Christians should be able to explain the Bible, really. At last. Alright, so, Matthew 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them. Look at your Bible, please. And he said, all power is given to me in heaven. Do you have a Bible, sir? No, not sharing. Do you have a Bible? Is there a Bible there? So, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore, teach all nations. And the word teach there, we said, it means to what? To make disciples, right? That means to make disciples. Now, disciple is not a spiritual word. Many people have thought that disciple is a spiritual word. Ah, disciples. No. No, it's the normal daily word you have as apprenticeship. Right? You know, people will learn from you, probably learn a particular trait, you know. That's disciple. So if I say, hope is my disciple. That means hope is learning something from me, right? That makes sense. It doesn't have to be Bible. If you have a mentor, for example, probably you're in healthcare or whatever business industry you have, finance, fintech, and then you have someone who is mentoring you, you can put it loosely that the person is discipling you in that industry. Does that make sense? Also, it's not a spiritual word. John had his own disciples. Acts 19 verse 1. Look at that. Acts 19 1. There. And it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples said unto them, have you with those which you believe? Okay, I'll wait for you. You're still going. Huh? So, he found that disciples, verse 1, verse 2, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And he said unto them, we have not heard if there be any Holy Ghost. Verse 3, and he said unto them, then what I baptized? And he said unto John's baptism. Then Paul said, John's very baptized with, can you see that? So, they were certain disciples. They were disciples, but not disciples of the gospel, right? Right? They were disciples, but not disciples of the gospel. So, when you say disciples, we must ask, disciples of what? Or of who? I have disciples, sir, but my disciples are not coming to church. That's not a disciple. Because a disciple should be doing what you are doing. Imagine saying you have an apprentice at work. Let's say you repair generators. My generator had fault at work. I had to call someone that repaired. And he brought, that was yesterday, he brought an apprentice. Now, well, very easy, my boy. Just came to greet the office. And then he said, I said, this is my boy too. He's learning, he's not going to school. He said he's going to school, that when he comes back from school, he resumes there. He said, how are you then reading? The boy said, your guy was telling him that he passes well, look. Well, then during the holidays, he said, wow. And this one took a reflection. And he was saying, the way he stood up, I was shocked. I didn't want him to beat me. The way he stood up, he said, sir, magical hands, we call him magical hands. That is, the way he repairs gen. So imagine saying that you have an apprentice. You repair generator, you have an apprentice, but it doesn't repair generator. How does that sound? Is that an apprentice? No. He's just a visitor in your office, or in your shop, in your workshop. That makes sense? So, if you say someone is your disciple, that makes sense? He has to be doing what you're doing. That means if you're studying God's word, your disciple ought to be studying God's word. If you are healing the sick, your disciple ought to be healing the sick. If you are praying, if you pray, your disciple ought to pray. Now, the disciple doesn't speak in tongues. That's not your disciple. Until he starts doing that. That makes sense? That makes sense? He says, you go into the world and raise disciples. Verse 20, Matthew 20, 20. Then he said, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. He says, lo, I am with you always. Till the end of the world, of the age. Hallelujah. He says, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And so, it will be disciples of. So, when Jesus said you will raise disciples, teaching all nations. So, what disciples? Disciples of what? I will just read verse 20 now. I will put everything together. So, what disciples are we talking about in verse 19? When it says, teach all nations. I said, that word is matitu. M-A-T-H-E-M-A-T-H-E-T-U-O. That is to make disciples, right? So, I said, disciples cannot be a generic word. That's the disciples of something. Right? Of someone. Right? So if you say, make disciples. You just said, make disciples. And we read verse 20. Teaching them to have all things I've commanded you. Lo, I am with you always to the end of the world. So to be disciples of what? Things that I have commanded you. Disciples of who? Of Christ. That makes sense? And so, our job is to make disciples of Christ. Using Christ's teaching. And so we need to look at what Jesus taught. How are we the disciples of Christ? What did he say we should follow? What did he command them? I put it to you that what he commanded them, listen very well. Of course, as the element of everything he taught in his 3.5 years of ministry, they just put it loosely like that, right? Come on. 3.5 years of ministry, he kept teaching them from the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, right? He kept teaching them the parable of the sower, right? He kept teaching them the kingdom of God. But much more, listen very well. The things he commanded them would be the teachings upon the resurrection. You know, we said that Matthew 28, 18 to 20 will be a summary. How many remember that? Eh? So, when it says the things I commanded you, that would be the things he just finished teaching. The teachings upon the resurrection. He taught them 40 days. Acts 1, verse 1 to 3. The former chapters have I written to you, Theophilus, of all Jesus began to do and to teach. Today he was taken up from among us. How that he was seen of his disciples 40 days, instructing them the things concerning the kingdom of God. Acts 1, 1 to 3. And so Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he taught his disciples 40 days. If you call that today in church, I would say, what to teach for 40 days? Wow. How many people will come? You come. I'm looking at you. 40 days. Hallelujah. But the Christian faith ought to be like that. I mean, we should have teaching meetings. There's more to this world than just living your life around anywhere. Hallelujah. Praise God. 40 days. I was sorry, was it yesterday? I was made prayer secretary while in school of the Department of Fellowship. You know, when I became president, I said, no, I'm busy. And and so they said, prayer secretary. I said, prayer. Are you guys sure? I said, no, prayer. And so I said, all right, so the first prayer meeting. In fact, I called the prayer meeting. I didn't want to treat them like Glorious House Church. So I just said, we'll do 6 hours. Because it was Glorious House Church. I knew we were probably going to do more. So I said, we'll do 6 hours. And I didn't tell them 6 hours. So they were just, probably we'll finish this in 30 minutes. Like, temper just this business. So after 6 hours, I stopped. And they said, wow, we are so blessed. I know that's good. It was so blessed. Oh, wow. When is the next one? I'm very sure you want to know the next one to program your life. When is the next one? You say, it's always last Friday. So the next Friday, I called her. Last Friday, I called her on that one. I was the only one that showed up. Out of everybody in the department. Nobody. The Sunday we used to meet on stage. He said, President. How can the president not show up? I said, President, that night, they called me from home. I saw him just around 9. When did you go home? Hallelujah! But it just shows our attitude towards things. But Jesus taught for 40 days. You can imagine 40. Say we're coming to church for 40 days. Everything, 40 days. Praise God. And so, Jesus telling 40 days, when he says, you now put the attention on those things I taught you. What did he teach them? The things concerning the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And so, we will be disciples of that teaching. The teaching upon the resurrection. Hallelujah. Are you hearing something? So, we are disciples of that teaching. The teaching upon the resurrection. So, we said, one of those things he instructed them will be healing. But before I go to that, look at John 16. I want you to turn there. Verse 12. Let's start from verse 7. We are all going to read together, and I want you to listen very well so that you can understand some basic stuff. Verse 7 We read from verse 7 to verse 13. Are we ready? Want to go? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, by the power, I'll come to you. And when he's coming, we will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For himself, and whatever he shall hear, that he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall be fighting for what I will see, and show it to you. Again, he said, I've experienced like going away, and we've explained the going away. The going away will actually be the inbreeding. So, we'll be going away in the flesh to come to us in the spirit. That makes sense? When that says, I have so many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. That's not you. That's talking to his disciples. Why can they not bear them now? Because they don't have a spirit yet. John 7:39, nobody had the spirit until the Holy Ghost, until Jesus was glorified. That is, he was resurrected. Verse 13, look at the verse 13. So, that means, verse 12 says, I have so many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. That means, listen very well. The teachings that, the teachings of the indwelling, the teachings that we disciples of, are teachings upon the resurrection. Does it make sense? So, the major teachings are upon the resurrection. That's what we have as the epistles. But it says, can we read verses together? I want to show you something. Want to go? I'll be when the spirit of truth shall come. He will guide you into all the truth. To come. We've explained that, right? I think Gospel according to John, where we said, someone said, the Holy Ghost does not speak of himself, he speaks of Christ. Then who is the Holy Ghost? No. He shall not speak away from himself. Who speaks away from himself? That which you shall hear, that shall he speak. That which you shall hear, not what he will hear. That which you shall hear, that will he speak. Hallelujah. And he will show you things to come. Praise God. And so, the teachings upon the resurrection are what will disciple us. Praise God. You know, the resurrection of Jesus was more than just someone waking up. But it's not only Jesus that resurrected now. That's how he was resurrected. Dorcas resurrected. Right? That's Tabitha. The daughter of Jairus. Right? Come on. She was raised from the dead. So what's special about Jesus' resurrection? Number one, none of those people died for sins. Number two, none of those people rose up to live forever. Jesus, when he resurrected, is alive forevermore. Lazarus rose up and he still died later. Right? Dorcas rose up and she still died later. Right? Jesus rose from the dead and is alive forever. So the resurrection is the crux of Christianity, is the peak. We are disciples of resurrection. Thank God for an incarnation. Thank God for the ministry of Jesus. Thank God for all the things he did on the shores of Galilee. But you see, the resurrection, that is where our instruction is. We are disciples of the resurrection. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he said, I have so many things to say unto you. Upon the resurrection. Upon the resurrection. So our reality is in the resurrection. Our reality is in the resurrection. Let me say this. Upon the resurrection, you will now find out that there are possibilities. The resurrection has its own possibilities. Aye, where's the note? What happened? You should have a note. How do you want to remember next week? Should have a note. Alright, so upon the resurrection, there are possibilities. Quickly turn to Mark 16. This is something. Alright, Mark 16. So we said, if we are disciples of the resurrection, then that means there are things we should learn in the resurrection. We should also, if you are learning possibilities, supernatural possibilities, then we should look at resurrection. That is, what are the things that are possible because of the resurrection? Mark 16, verse 15. Now you have a Bible so that you can open it. Mark 16, 15. Are you ready? 1, 2, go. Go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature.
Whosoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whosoever believes not, condemned. These signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. You shall not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and the sick will what? Recover. To heaven. He sat on the right hand of God, preaching, and the Lord walking with them, confirming the signs following. Again, we said, we've explained how he was received up into heaven. He sat on the right hand of God. So, you know, in some people's mind, Jesus, God is here. Jesus is now sitting at the right hand. Like the firstborn, or lastborn, which one? If anything was to happen, we now show his hands. How does he see it? See when drama. What kind of drama is that one? When he says seated at the right hand of God, again, the right hand of God is used for the hand of God's power. It's metaphorical. It's not like God, right hand, left hand. No. When he says someone's right hand, in fact, I think in some cultures, it was retained. They say also, you know, it shows the person that has the authority, the arm of your power. When you want to execute judgment, when you execute power, you go through your right hand, as it were. That makes sense? And so God's right hand on the earth is the activities that God is doing in man by his power. When you find the sick healed, that is God's right hand. That makes sense? When you find the dead raised by the power of God, that's God's right hand. When you find believers gathering, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, that is God's right hand. It's not like he has one left hand. Is that clear? Alright. But look at Mark 16. That's it. They will cast out devils. That's a possibility. Right? He says, these signs shall follow those who believe. Come on. Let me see how many of you have you believed the gospel? Let me see if you answer if you have believed the gospel. You have not believed the gospel, you should not be in church. You should be outside. They will go and get you saved. They will bring you in. I love that. Well, you have believed the gospel, right? I'm born again. Hallelujah. Now I'm full of God's spirit. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. God is my father. Alright? So, he says, these signs shall follow pastors. Is that what's there? Okay. These signs shall follow elders. Let's know what's there. Is that not what's in your Bible? These signs shall follow those who pray a lot. Check now. Which version? There's a version like that. This signs shall follow those who speak in tongues. Is that what's there? NZY version. It says, these signs shall follow those who believe. So, you raise your hand the other time that you have believed. So that means you should add these possibilities. He says, number one, do what? Cast out devils. We have a teaching on that. Casting out demons. Please, you should listen to it. I think it's about 4 tracks. You should listen to it. Casting out demons. I don't think you should. There's only this really Christian that has not cast out a devil before. You should. I was teaching this somewhere in the bedroom. Some years ago, don't say. You should say PM. You say PM. PM. Say let's let the sleeping dog lie. You know, I thought so much on this charismatic that night. That demons and all. The next day it was a Friday night. I said the next day I'm going to take you out. I'm going to go to Foco. There's somewhere in the bottom called Foco. The most ghetto place you can find. So I said we go there. We used to go there almost every Christmas. So, I said, I'll take them there. After the vigil, the guy came to me. The PM, I want to see you. We are seeing each other. I was thinking about that, your message. Let's let the sleeping dog lie. Hallelujah. He said, who is the sleeping dog? So, he said, let's let the sleeping dog lie. I said, what does that mean? Of course, I know what it meant. He said, let's leave the devil alone. He said, the devil did not come to us. Let's leave him alone too. I said, what? He said, that one of his friends when he was in school. And he went, wow, demon treated that guy. Demon beat. Hallelujah. He said, the demon beat pastor out of the guy. I said, listen very well. The person that beats the other person, already had him in mind. God. All those things that you see, that, read the book. Who is a drama? Yes, I know what I'm saying. I'm standing on what I'm saying.
Because the meaning like that, you are there, Sergio. Holy Ghost meeting, root there. And, yeah, in this is my meeting.
My people.
Yes, okay. I carry a job. You want to know, show gun. You want to know that the person is not in the speed. Just bring that knife. My servant. That's nice now. I think you can't see it. You're in the spirit. The Bible says the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. Right? That means you can't, because that's the word pneumaticals, the spirituals of a prophet. That means the activities of the spirit of a prophet is subject to the prophet. So you can have someone function by a demon if he doesn't want it, and also his will is involved. Does that make sense? His will is involved. But the Christians who cast out demons is a possibility. He says they will take up serpents. Now, we explain that. Well, what teaching is that? Shake off the beast. She listens to that. Someone says, you have to teach him everything. No, not yet. We are coming. At least in 10 years, we should. Hallelujah. We are on the Amen now. Turn. The fourth run. No problem. Alright, so, shake off the beast. So, when you say take off serpents, when we have gone to the zoo, there was a man like that in Brazil that went to the zoo. The Bible says you take off serpents. At least you won't take off serpent. Take the reasonable one that is not poisonous. You now want to take that has very crazy poison? Is it cobra? I know python doesn't have poison. Is it python? Which one doesn't have? Viper. The name sounds like poisonous. You just took one very poisonous snake. Say, Bible says you will take up serpent. And he filled the congregation with that. He said, you were passing the serpent around. You know, Brazilians can be crazy. That's what you have run a deal. You are not passing the serpent around. Everyone, take up serpent. If I was in that congregation, I wouldn't take it up. Take up serpent. Where are you? Eagles happened. And so, the serpent went around, but he did not do anything. By the time he now goes to the pastor, he was not a pastor. The serpent took off pastor. He died. Taking up serpent has to do with the works of the devil. It's not literal snakes. It has to do with the works of the devil. We explained that in Shake of the Beast. I think it's about 3 or 4 tracks. You should listen to that. All right. So he says, you take us there. But look at the last thing he said, you will lay your hands on the sick. That's where we're going to. And the sick will recover. How many of you believe that? Sure. Oh, I can't see you believing. Have you seen people healed before? Have you seen people healed before? There's a possibility. Someone said, I don't believe that God heals the sick. I don't believe it. So why do people go to hell? Why would people go to hell at all? It is a loving God. He's a loving God. Why should people go to hell? Jesus, did Jesus warn about the consequences of unbelief? Yes. Did he say anyone who does not believe will be condemned? Yes. Exactly. The loving kindness of God is explained by his word. God is not tyrannical. I think we said that last week. He won't force you to do what he wants at all costs. The love of God will see a man off to the gates of hell. That sounds somehow. The love of God will keep persuading a man, even when he's on the way to hell. But he cannot just overturn him and say, be saved, John. I recall the particular illustration someone gave. I think it was Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland. And he said, we have barbers, hairstylists, right, in the world, right? Come on, right? We have hairstylists, barbers, people who take care of people's hairstyle and all. He said, then why do we still have people with bushy ears? Why do people still have bushy, unkempt? Yes, that's true. Because they didn't go to the barber. Does it make any sense? And so, if you say, why do people still go to hell? Because they didn't go to God. Is that not simple? Hallelujah. That's quite simple, yeah? And so, does God steal? I don't believe that God can steal. And of course, sometimes because maybe you have seen someone who was sick for a long time, and probably died from the sickness. Personally, I've been part of one, really, that we were praying for someone who was sick and the person eventually died. But that does not take away my trust in God's healing power. Hallelujah. Kenneth Hagin said something some years ago. He said, if I die from sickness, he said, let it be written, he died from sickness. not that God did not heal him. Look, I read that and I didn't understand at that moment. I do better now. Hallelujah. Just they will lay their hands on the sick and the sick will recover. It's a possibility. It's a possibility. You should have that as a Christian. In fact, it should happen to you every week. Where you have people who are sick. How can you be a Christian and you are dispensing drugs? No, not that you are working in a pharmacy. No, that's what I'm saying. You find some Christians. If you get to their room, it's like pharmacy. If you say you have stomach, you just bring out this drawer. Say, are you allergic to Christian? Drawer, what's the Bernardo's? There's a pharmacy like that on which road? He said, do you use Panadol or you use Paracetamol? Oh, you know, but you use Christian. You know, someone should come to you with an headache. And you should be able to pray. How about that? Just be able to pray about it. No, that's not what we want. Christians would rather go to church. They don't want to learn about all these words. Hey, God, give me music. Let me swear for my God. Let me swear to my God. It's for Sunday. Sit them down. Teach them about healing. They say, healing God. The fast is slim. Everybody's done. After dancing for 45 minutes, they say, let's learn God's word. Which God word do you want to learn after 5 minutes of sweat? The next thing is sleep. Off your time again. Yay! Hey! I like that church. God is there. It's true. Yeah, God is there. God is there. You find people say something like, I really enjoyed myself today. You don't go to church to enjoy yourself. That's not Christianity. You don't go to church to enjoy yourself. You go to church to learn about Jesus. Hallelujah. You don't enjoy yourself. You learn. And so, he said, they will lay their hands on the sick. They will lay their hands on the sick. You know, you should have that in your life. How about that? How can you? The Christian faith is not, you live like someone without the Spirit of God now. Right? You should have people come to you. You should have people call you because they need the power of God. Hallelujah. People should know that right in you, right with you, is the power of God available. Pastor Lola Onoyinka said something many years ago. She said that if you don't learn to use divine healing for headaches and malaria, when a sickness comes that drugs cannot take care of, you are helpless. You must learn to use the authority you have in Christ for as little things as ethic. Do you know what that says? Because with sickness that does not have drug, or that does, what they call that, kobogi. Is that, see me asking, like I don't know. Kobogi. You have five Christians, not crying, say, why is God looking at me? No. You are looking at God. Hallelujah. I trust the healing power. You have someone is sick, your sibling is sick. You know, now, I'm not saying there's a pile of drugs. There's a place of drugs. You should know. Why did I go to school? I don't believe that. No? But your primary, that would be your first result. The primary mode of supplying energy back to your body would be by prayers. Lay hands on the sick. Exactly. You can just say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. In the name of Jesus. There's nothing at there. I mean, you believe in your heart and you're saved. In the name of Jesus. Sometimes you can call the name of the sickness. The name of Jesus also be gone. In the name of Jesus, God's power is at work in your body. Right now. Right now. Be healed right now. In the name of Jesus. Every infirmity is taken away. Your body system is functioning perfectly fine. That's just it. Every of the human beings that probably coordinated, that's just it. The day a deaf man heard, that was just it. In the name of Jesus, begin to hear. That was, you know, you don't have to conjure anything. And guess what? It's not for pastors. This time shall follow pastors. Shall follow who? Don't you believe? Don't let the devil box you up. He's not going to tell you.
Your pastor Musha in the drawer. No. No. I receive my healing today. Hallelujah. Said, I'm healed. I believe it. I believe it. That settles it. And you walk in the reality of yours. Hallelujah. In Acts 3, you know, Peter was supposed to go. He went to the gates. He wanted to go and pray. It's not like he wanted to go and heal the man, no. Acts 3, he was just going to pray. Peter and John. And the gates got beautiful. They met the man lame. He said, give us money now. Give us money. Bambi Allah. Peter said, I don't have cash. I don't have gold. I don't have silver. But let me give you what I have. Hallelujah. We don't have Christians like that. We know what we have. He said, let me give you what I have. I don't have gold, though. But there's something I have. Somewhat more than gold. I have something. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. He said, the man did not walk. Peter took him by the hand, lifted him up. I was saying, the man began to walk and he was leaping. That doesn't sound like a man has not walked for a while. That's energy. He was leaping, leaping his body like this. Hallelujah. That's some way to start to walk. He was leaping. He wasn't throwing supernatural energy. So what is healing? Healing is to supply supernatural energy to your body. Pain is gone. You know, you correct malfunctions. So we can have healing. We can have healing. Say God's power is at work. Come on, say God's power is at work. My hands are healing hands. My hands are healing hands. In Acts 19, Paul, Bible says, in verse 10 to 12, you find that they took handkerchief. They had a multitude of people that were sick. Paul could not minister to all of them. You know what they did? They took handkerchiefs to Paul. And then they were taking handkerchief from the body of Paul and were using it to heal the sick. You know, we still have the same spirit. Hallelujah. We still have the same spirit, right? So, upon the resurrection, we have a possibility of divine healing. Divine healing. There's healing in the natural world when people go to the hospital. I spent quite a number of years around the hospital. And I'm still going to spend more, you know. Of course, you have to work. But what I'm saying is, the provision for divine healing. Divine healing. I called one of our patients like that. No, I think I've shared this story before. And then I was still part of the treatment team. The week, our appointment was on a Thursday. Now, she was lame. She had, postpartum paralysis. No, it was not postpartum. She was lame. She was in a wheelchair. She has been on that for like 3 years. Her legs were weak and all. You know, we still treated her on a Thursday. The weekend, you know, the weekend, I just got a call from one of the physiotherapists in charge that she's walking on. I said, oh. And then the name of the patient. I said, eh? Now, the prognosis is poor. Prognosis is, how do you explain it? The outcome, the time length you think the person will take to recover, you know, the outcome, how fast do you think the person can recover? Get, I don't know what to explain. But the prognosis is poor. There are some sicknesses that say the prognosis is good. You know, you'll be fine very soon. But the prognosis is poor. We are expecting probably in 2 years more with proper treatment. Yes, she's walking. He has told her to come to the clinic on Monday. I was eagerly waiting before 9 o'clock. Now I was using a car bringing her in front of the clinic and then we wheel her in. Sometimes the will I not to us. But this time I just saw someone walking from afar. I said, Jesus. I'm telling you, I said, Jesus Christ. Even as I was expecting, I was still expecting that she probably come in a car the same way, you know, probably not with wheelchair. She was walking like she had been walking all her life for the last 3 years. And she saw us, she said, hey! We are all like this. Four of us, myself, Timmy, you and you know, we all have this. It's a miracle. And I don't know, I say, you go pop champagne for that. I was not in my mind. Pop time. I said, what happened? I need to hear about this. Because oftentimes, what you do is that, if you want healing for yourself, learn to hear about healing a lot. You find people who are sick, and the next thing is that they are googling symptoms.
Qatar plus sore throat. What will Google come up with? Coronavirus. That's a yeah. When you have a symptom of a sickness, what you should do is to go and hear and read about healing. Fill your mind with what God is doing, not what the devil is doing. We have seen so much about what the devil can do. We have seen so much about what the devil has done in the world. We want to hear more about what God is doing. Hallelujah. We want to hear more about what God is doing. You fill your mind. So I told her, I said, what happened? She said, I'm not much that they had the gene on the Friday. And the pastor just said, now the pastor has been saying that she has been in that church for years. And she says, she's come. And she wanted to wheel her chair. She said, no, come. Hallelujah. And that was it. Hallelujah. I received my healing today. That was it. That was it. That was just it. No, she didn't swallow salt. A bag of salt. You didn't even swim in the Olympic. That was it. The word of God fulfilling itself. No word of God lacks the power to fulfill itself. As simple as small as headaches, malaria, fever, I've seen cancer healed. Not once, not twice, not three times. And I'm saying it. I've seen it well. Hallelujah. I've seen the lame walk. I've seen the deaf hear. I've seen the blind see. I've seen it. I've seen the dead raised. I've seen so much of this to not trust in the power of God. I trust God's power. I actually do. I trust God's power. No, I'm not saying this because I'm preaching. I'm saying I trust God's power. And I receive it every time. Even as mine, every day. My family members, my friends, you know, church members, even as every day. Handkerchief from the body of Paul. And so, we can have healing as a sign and a wonder. You go on outreaches. No, you can heal the sick. Right? What's the name? Because there is spiritual people. You know. One bono. Don't let your own be Toyoshi. The Toyoshi, right? The sister Toyoshi. Hallelujah. We can have, in our outreaches, you go on outreach. You're about to preach, that's what you came for. But you just see someone that is sick in the house. That's happened many times. Just go there. Your brother is sick. The brother is not the person you came for. You came for someone else. Can we just pray for him? Don't nurse it. Don't give that like the nurse the person. Not that person has. Let's not talk outside. No. Pray. Yeah, my brother I thought is dead. I see him. No, I'm a minister of God's healing power. Yeah, I am. Don't shy away from demonstrating God's power. Never shy away from it. You know what? It's God's power, not yours. I've always told myself that. I've registered you now. My first healing meeting. It was a setup. That was when I knew that it was God's power. I said, God, you don't do this. I will never preach again. It's the deal. I will have still preached. I love Jesus. Hallelujah. I love Jesus, actually. You demonstrate God's power. Outreach it. You know, in your cell meetings, you should have healings. No one should come for cell meetings sick and should give back sick. You should have healings. Give time for that. Hallelujah. Give time to see people healed by the power of God. You know, the issue is that the moment you start seeing it, you want to see more. If you see one and you demonstrate one healing, two, three, you become an expert. The things of the Spirit get better with use. With practice, you keep getting better. Hallelujah. The moment you demonstrate the things of the Spirit over and over again, why do you speak in tongues effortlessly? Because you have spoken in tongues over and over again. I got with my roommate then. Yeah. From his sleep, we woke him up. Yeah, let the God shock. I guess he was coming from the prayer field. So he was feeling sleepy. He had been there for about 7 hours. He was feeling sleepy, then he came to do stuff. While he was still on the bed, he was still asleep. So the moment he just continued. Because he had been doing it before. And you know, it's the same power. The same spirit that speaks in tongues is the same spirit that heals the sick. It's a gift of the Spirit. First Corinthians 12, verse 8. He gave him the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Various kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, miracles, the gift of faith. I must have seen annoying. You know? And he gave healing. I can heal by the power of God. He's a possibility in the resurrection. Supernatural possibilities. In the world, it's not possible to just say, be well, and the person will be well. But you know, in the resurrection, by the Spirit of God in us, we actually can say, be well, and the person will be well. Hallelujah. I'm a minister of God's healing power. I'm a minister of God's healing power. But let me say, as much as healing, now listen very well, as much as healing is a sign and a wonder, you must not be a signboard. Healing is also for you. It's true, it's a sign, it's a wonder, but it's also for you. If you are a pastor, you will know very well. Or you are the one someone that ministers a lot. That sometimes you are ministering healing, and you yourself, you are sick in the body. It is possible. Hallelujah. It is possible that a man is sick in the body, and people are running and walking, blind as sin, and he is sick in the body. It's very, very possible. And so, we can see healing from the part of a sign of wonder, whoa, good. We say, oh, what a cat meeting, we had a sick healed. Glory to God. Good. But more than that, God also wants you well. God wants you well. Praise God. Say, God wants me well. I know you said that very well. Say, God wants me well. And so, it's not just a sign of the wonder. It's also for you. Moses calls, he called sickness a curse in Deuteronomy 28. In the Hebrew, when he said a curse is that which is failing. That which is failing. A failure of something. A failure of health is a curse. I'm not saying you are cursed. You have kata. I'm not saying that it's not the plan of God for us to be sick. In 3 John verse 2. Can we read that together? Just on there. 3 John. I will for you. God wants me well. No? I'm going to stay healthy. No? Every part of my body functioning well. No? Bent knees are straightened. Bent backs are straightened by the power of God. No? Liver working fine. Kidney working fine. Eyes working fine. My ears are working fine. Respiratory system working fine. Digestive system is doing fine. You know? Reproductive system is doing fine by the power of God. You know, skeletal system. Which other system? Home theater. Hallelujah. I say, Pastor, why did you quench the spirit? 3 John 2. Can we together once again? Are you prosper? Are you being health? Even as your what? Soul prospers. I wish you above all things. That you prosper and be in health. And so, it's God's will. Of course, this was John talking to Gaius. But it's John's will. It's God's will. But John so God the love. But what so John the God? For John so God the love. The love so John the God. A woman said that. Bible said that. But you know, it's God's will that we are in health. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 33. Learn something. Jeremiah 33, verse 6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure. I will cure them. And I will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. I said, I will bring them health and cure. God's powers are working my body. Effecting my healing and a cure. Hallelujah. He said, I will bring them health and cure. I'll bring them health and cure. Healing and a cure. So, we can walk in divine healing. Divine healing. Divine healing. In Mark 7, I want to show you something. Please, pay attention to this one. Verse 24. And from there, he arose and went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house. No man knows, so that he could be healed. For a certain woman who young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. Verse 26.
The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician woman by nation, and she besought him that he would cast out the devil from her daughter. Can we verse 27 together? But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take what? The children's bread and cast it unto dogs. She came to Jesus and said, let my daughter be healed. Jesus said, it's not fit to give the children's bread to dogs. Now, dogs in the Old Testament is used for those who are not in a covenant relationship with God. Especially for Gentiles. People who are not Jews. But in the New Testament, listen very well. In the New Testament, dogs is used for the unbeliever. It's metaphorical for an unbeliever. Look at Philippians 3. Let me just quickly, because someone said, why would Jesus call someone a dog? I just want to clear that. Philippians 3. There is something. Philippians 3, 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. So, all the same things unto you, the Lord give us before you to speak. Can we read verse 2 together, verse 2 and 3? Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of what? The constitution. Circumcision, which was in the spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. The man that has confidence in the flesh is the man that has not received the gospel. That makes sense? That makes sense? He's self-righteous, he's self-validating, he has confidence in the flesh. He now says, beware of dogs. The dogs is the same thing as the evil worker, the same thing as the uncircumcision. That makes sense? That makes sense? So dogs in the New Testament is used for the unbeliever, unbelieving one. The one who has not received the gospel is called a dog. It's metaphorical. It's just, not that it's a dog. So, Jesus said, it's not fit to give the children's bread to dogs. To dogs. But you know what she said? Let's see what she said. Mark 7. So, we explain dogs, right? Right? Dogs in the New Testament, Abby? When Jesus said, it's not fit to give the children's meat to dogs. The children's bread to dogs. It's not like Jesus, not like a dog. A dog is investment, right? Alright. Mark 7, go back there. Verse 28, then she answered. Answered what? Come on. She said, yes, Lord. There are the dogs under the table, eat the children's crumb. And he said unto her, for this time, go your way. The devil is gone out of your daughter. He said, crumbs. How many of you eat crumbs of bread? No crumbs. No crumbs of bread now. Personally, I shake off the crumbs first. I don't like disturbing the reaction. But as well as the sliced bread. I don't like sliced bread. Hallelujah. But she was begging for the crumbs. But what do you take away from there? Healing is the children's bread. That's what Jesus said. Healing is the children's bread. That means our right and privilege in Christ. It's not just the Holy Ghost. Also, healing is part. Our right and privilege in Christ is not just righteousness by faith. It's not just our good standing with God. It's not just our eternal life. Healing in the body is the children's bread. Healing is mine. Israeli. Healing is mine. He said it's ours. That's what he said. He said it's the children's. He said, I can't give the children's bread to dogs, to unbelievers. The unbelievers now get healed. But healing is the children's bread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's not just a sign and a wonder, it's also a right and privilege in Christ. So I need to walk in divine healing myself. You are sick in your body. How about just appropriating the power of God? If you have someone who is sick at home, how about just believing for the person and trusting the power of God? Healing is mine. Healing is mine. So how do I walk in divine healing? Because it's a possibility. It's a supernatural possibility that sicknesses can be healed. Jesus healed the sick. Right? In fact, in John 14, he said, the works I do, my Father doeth these works. This is very well. That means God is the sick. Because Jesus is the sick. So if he said in John 14 from verse 10 to verse 12, that the works I do is my Father is doing it. That means God's work is healing. Healing is the Father's work. Healing is the Father's work. Healing is the Father's work. And it's my right and privilege in Christ. So, you need to walk in divine healing. Divine healing.
You're sick in the body. You have a pain in the body. I've heard Christians say, they want to say, I'm strong.
That's a wrong way to start. I'm strong
because you think. I'm strong. Yeah, I'm strong. Look at Mark 11:23. Let me show you how to appropriate faith and walk in the realities of redemption. Mark 11.
Learn something this morning?
No, this is church.
Mark 11.
Close very soon.
Mark 11 verse 23. Can we read that together, please? And the cast in the sea, down in his heart, but shall believe all things he says shall come to pass, he will receive all that he is. That is how to walk in faith. You will say to the mountain. He didn't say you will say that there is no mountain. Right? He didn't say, just say that there is no mountain. Eh? He said you will say to the mountain. So, say I'm strong is not, say what it is. There's this headache. But I'm healed. That is how to talk. I'm strong. I thought when I was younger, my mom would say, oh, what Paul are you? I said, exactly what I'm saying. That's why you should give me. And then I was asking for, I wanted to buy a new bicycle. Even I didn't want to ride it. I was just, I had games. That's easy what you're thinking about. Now I can relate to some of the things our parents were saying. He said, oh, Paul, I said, exactly. Give me some out of it. Since it's plenty. He said, well, you don't even know anything. So what she was saying was actually that she did not have. But she was saying, oh, that's not the confession of faith. Confession of faith is to say, I don't have much. I'm not really, the cash flow is not really flowing like that presently. But you know, things are changing. My needs are met and my bills are paid. You know, things are working fine. I believe in miracles, you know. I was saying, brochure that one recently, eh? As I was doing that, I said, tomorrow, not tomorrow. I just woke up to see provision. I mean, woke up to see provision, literally. I was about to pray for, to join prayer chain. New prayer chain is sweeter. I said, it's a go. And I went on praying with fervency. In fact, lengthened it more. Hallelujah. You know, say, I'm strong. No. There's this ethic. Don't say, I have ethic. It's not your own. Don't say, I have ethic. Some people have appropriated sicknesses to themselves. Say, isn't that my asthma? You know that my asthma? It's not your asthma. If there's anything you have in Christ, it's your healing. Say, the healing is the children's bread. So it's not your asthma, it's your healing. It's not your ulcer, it's your healing. It's not your headache, it's your healing. But you know, I'm strong. There's this headache, but I know God's power is at work in me. In the name of Jesus, God's power is at work in my body, effecting a healing and a cure. You know, I'm doing fine. You know, every part of my body is functioning fine. You know, that's how to appropriate healing. Jesus said, you will say to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. Whosoever shall say to this mountain. So what's the mountain? Sickness, right? So you say to the mountain. It didn't say you talk about the mountain. It said you talk to the mountain. Hallelujah. You know some people talk about the mountain. They say anybody that has it. There are only two people in the world that have it. One president of one country and me. And now he has died now. That does not solve anything. Talking about the mountain does not get the mountain off its way. Hallelujah. Off the way rather. You know what moves the mountain? You talk to the mountain. There are times that in ministering healing, you have to even say, you have to call the name. There was one sickness like that. We had a healing school. And then, there was one sickness like that. Someone brought, I was pastoring before. So it was a healing school. And it was an opportunity that was privileged to one of those that was ministering there. And so someone came and then brought the medical report. I checked there, I saw the name. Of course, I was still quite younger in medical school then, so you know, you see the name. It looks like Greek word. I said, I don't know this name. On the name of Jesus. Now, I couldn't even pronounce it.
Sometimes, oftentimes I like saying it directly. In the name of Jesus, ulcer, leave this body now. In the name of Jesus, your kidney is functioning well. Your appendix is functioning fine. In the name of Jesus, talk to the mountain. Talk to the mountain. Trust in God's power. He says, you will believe what you say, right? Mark 11:23. Look at it again. You will say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. That means you are giving direction to the power of God, right? You will tell him where to go. Be removed. Go wherever you want. Go. Be thou removed and go into the sea. He says, and you will not doubt. You will not doubt. But you what? You believe that which you are saying. You believe that which you are saying. Someone said, listen to this. He said, Pastor, I have said it, but it's not going. What did you really say? It's not going. That was what you said. He said, I don't understand. He said, I've said what you said, what you say. But you see, that stuff is not going, you know. Your confession really is that it's not going. You stay on God's word. Hallelujah. You stay on God's word. Particular minister like that in Nigeria, younger brother had issues, was lame. And everything before he goes to work, he will go to the Lord and say, the legs are functioning fine. You walk in the name of Jesus. And he'll go. Like that. You know what? He did that for 18 months. And he was just doing every day. When he just came back from work, his brother was working. Hallelujah. 18 months. He kept saying the same thing. That's what Pastor Christian Akilom. He didn't say it. We heard from another source. You know, he was just saying, the legs are functioning. I will go. 18 months. Maybe just one day, once. Just like, this guy is going in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I say, in that conversation, he says, Pastor, the Lord. You're not even saying Jesus. The Lord, the Lord. That's really what you believe. Look at Lord. Stay on God's word. Hallelujah. Stay on God's word. Stay on God's word. You will see what you say. You have what you say. You have what you say. And so, the way to appropriate healing, which is a supernatural possibility in the resurrection, is by talking. You speak to the mountain. Verse 24, Mark 11:24. Can we verse 24 together? Therefore I say unto you, whatever things you so desire, when you pray, believe that you receive and you will have them. The second way is by praying. It is as simple as, Father, thank you for today. There's this edit. Really, I'm not comfortable with it. We will just in prayer about it. Our Lord, our Father, O God of Jacob, O God of Israel, O God of our prophets on this mountain. Prayer is quite simple. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Complicated. Just pray. Or better still, you do both. As you pray, you're confessing God's word. As you pray, you again, healing is the children's bread. Healing is mine. You said it, Lord, today I receive my healing today. Receive my healing today. For your parents, for your probably have aged parents, you know. For your sibling, the one who's always getting sick, you know. Healing is possible. Hallelujah. The possibility. Healing is possible. Healing is possible. Very, very possible. The power of God is possible. The power of God is possible. You know, I trust God's power. If it has worked before, I will see it work again. If I've read it in the book of Acts, if I've read it in the four gospels, then I'm seeing it again by the power of the Holy Ghost. You've seen it again and again and again and again and again and again and again in the name of Jesus. God's power is at work. Hallelujah. Healing is possible. Mark 11:24 says, so you pray. In James 5, as I close, pray for me. James 5. So you receive healing, number one, by what? By speaking, number two. Are people here? By number one, by speaking. Listen, you are going. Number one, by by speaking, number two, by praying. By praying. James 5. Supernatural possibilities. I don't know what the doctor has said about it. I don't know the report you have about it. But I know what God's word has said about it. He said, I will bring you health and cure. I don't know what you have read on Google about it. I don't know, you know, I really don't care what the name of the sickness is. But I know what God's word has said about it. He desires that you should be well. He desires that you should be well. He desires that you are in health. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing missing, nothing broken.
Nothing missing, nothing broken. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. John 5. Now verse 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the leaders of the church. And let him pray over him. And continue with all the people of him. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is any sick? He says, let them pray. Hallelujah. And the prayer of faith, not the anointing oil, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. So prayer can save the sick. Prayer can save the sick. Prayer can save the sick. You are sick in your body. I trust God's power right now to go through your body to effect a healing in the name of Jesus. Healing is free. Healing is free. In fact, you don't have to wait. You don't have to pay. It's free. And you don't have to wait for another day. It's free. Just receive. Just receive. Just receive. Just receive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Healing is the children's bread. You're alive by the Spirit of God. I will bring them health and cure. I will bring them health and cure. I have health in the name of Jesus. Good health. I have good health. I have good health. God's power is effective in my body. God's power is effective in my body. Yes, 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 yes. Every part is functioning fine. My ears, my eyes, my skin. Every part is functioning fine by the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power of the Holy Ghost. I trust you, Lord. Trust what you're doing. I trust your power. You know, no, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. Why don't you just pray for yourself?